So Parshas Dvorim, Ele HaDvorim, Rashi starts and tells us, Lefisha Hoyu Divrei Tokachos. At this point, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to take part, to take leave from Bnei Yisrael at the end of his life, and he gives Divrei Tokachos. And no doubt that Rashi derives this from the word Dvorim. Dvorim means Dvarim Kashim, Divrei Tochacha, words of castigation, critique. And Rashi says, Hizkirim Beremez, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not speak this harsh criticism explicitly, he did it in a very diplomatic way, he hid it, is because of the covet of Klal Yisrael. We've mentioned in the past the Ramban's introduction to Sefer Dvarim, we're not going to go over that again, about Moshe Rabbeinu wanting to give chizuk to Bnei Yisrael, that despite the fact that the previous generation was guilty of many sins, nevertheless HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed and displayed much compassion on them, and this would give chizuk to this dar, the new dar, that's about to enter to Eretz Yisrael and is going to face all the difficult confrontations of the seven nations, that they should have chizuk and they shouldn't give up hope and say, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have compassion on us? Ein Adam Asher Lo Yechta. No, we've seen the divine compassion despite the averus of the previous generation, and therefore we should have chizuk, we should understand that Hashem's Midas HaRachmim has no bounds and He will protect us as we enter into Eretz Yisrael. But as far as why Moshe Rabbeinu waits till the end of his life to give Tochacha, perhaps we should put this in a framework based on the statement of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina in Breishis Rabbah, in which he says, in the context of Vahochiach Avram es Avimelech, is called Ava Sheina Ein Ima Tochacha Ein Ava. That Tochacha is a result of Ava. The source of Tochacha has to be Ava. And if there's Ava, there's got to be Tochacha. If there's Ava she'enimah Tochacha, that's not Ava. When does Moshe Rabbeinu's Ava for Klal Yisrael reach its pinnacle? It's here at the end of his life, in the culmination of his career after 40 years, Arboim Shona Okut, Akut Bidar. And what this means is that Moshe Rabbeinu's Ava reaches its pinnacle. I'd like to share with you an insight of the Tolna Rebbe Shlita, and he says that the Pasuk says, Eis Asher Yoav Hashem Yochiach. We have to imitate Hashem. Hashem will give Tochacha to whom He loves. Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of his career says, at the Snev Vezeh, Vehein lo yaminu li velo yishmu bekoli. Moshe Rabbeinu begins his career as a leader of Klal Yisrael with a certain sense of skepticism. He's not ready to believe in the people of Israel that they will believe in him. He doesn't want to go on the Shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to redeem Klal Yisrael. He's afraid that Bnei Yisrael won't believe in him. And he said something negative about Klal Yisrael, as Rashi points out at the beginning of Shmos. But here, towards the end of his life, it's a whole different attitude. He's reached a Maila Gedola in Avas Yisrael. He's reached the pinnacle of love for Israel. Now he's ready to give Tochacha. Only someone who is in this Madrega of an Ohev can fulfill the role, play the role as a Mochiach, can give harsh criticism and castigation. And that's what the Pasuk means in Mishle, Eis Asher Yoav Yochiach. Moshe Rabbeinu has suffered tremendously from the rebellions of the Jewish people during the period of 40 years. He was a leader of Klal Yisrael, but yet he had to move through layers and layers, madregos and madregos, until he could reach Ava Rabba and achieve that level of loving every single Jew. He reaches the level towards the end of his life, which is described in the Zohar and other Sfarim as Rayel Mehemna. He is the Roeh Ne'eman, the reliable shepherd. And he cannot leave them without being Mochiach them, because his Tochacha will not be in any way personal. His life is coming to a close. It's a tochacha that comes completely, totally from av gemura, of a total love for the people of Israel. The pasuk says here in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Dvarim, "Vayhi kasher tamu kol anshei melchama lamus mikerev ha'am, vaydaber Hashem elai lemar." Rashi makes a very important comment. When the Dor Hamidbar, those who were guilty at the time of the Meraglim of despising the land, when they came to their termination, when they died out, then Vayedaber Hashem Elav. Rashi says, Adkan, until this point, since the Meraglim was sent out, Lo Nemar Vayedaber Elav. Ela Vayomer. Why the shift from Vayomer to Vayedaber? Rashi says, Kol Lamed Ches Shana, for 38 years, from the time of the Meraglim until the end of Moshe's career in the Midbar, Shana is Hayu Yisrael Nizofim. Klal Yisrael were in a state of Nizifa, because that generation of the Meraglim was still alive, and they were sinners. They were guilty. Islo Nisyached Imo Adibur Beloshon Chiba, Moshe Rabbeinu could not achieve the level of prophecy that was so unique to him of Ponim El Ponim V'Yishuv Adas, because Ein Hashchina Shorah Al Hanaviyim Ela Bishvil Yisrael. And if Yisrael are not worthy of Shechina, then the Navi is not worthy of Shechina. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Lashon of Amira. And this seems to be counterintuitive. Rashi seems to be predicating himself on something that's antithetical to everything we know. The Lashon of Amira is a Lashon Raka. Rashi himself quotes it in Shmos Yutes when it says, Ko Somar Lebeis Yaakov. And he says, B'loshon Raka. So Amir is B'loshon Raka. On the contrary, as Rashi says here at the beginning of Dvarim, Dibur is a Loshon Kasha. And yet what we're finding is that Dafka, during the period of 38 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Moshe in Vayedaber. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Rashi says that during the 38 years of Nizifa, following the Chet HaMeraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Moshe in the language of Amira. And Rashi calls that a Lashon Kasha. There's no Chiba here. When does it shift to Chiba? After the generation of the aftermath of the Chet HaMeraglim, they die out, then it's Vayedaber. What's going on over here? Vayedaber Loshen Chiba? It should be the exact opposite. The explanation to this, to shed a light on this Rashi, comes from the Beis Aaron, Rabbi Arla Karliner, who says the following. When a father sees his son going wild, misbehaving, doing things that are dangerous, then he castigates his son, and sometimes he even has to hit him in order to teach him the right way. However, at that moment, when he's giving this tochacha, he says that he does it very harshly, but had he given the same tochacha to some other child, let's say he saw his friend's son misbehaving, or his neighbor's son misbehaving, it's possible that he would be gorbo, he would tell him, you know, that this is not the way, but he would speak to him in a soft language. Why then, when he speaks to his son, he has to be very harsh about it? And the answer is because, with regard to his son, the father has an obligation to educate his son. Tochacha has to come from that sense of love, of fatherly love for his son. And that's why, in the case of someone else's son, who's rachok, you know, he's a zar to him, there is no close relationship, then he has to be very diplomatic about it. He has to use soft language. Soft language is in castigation is a reflection of zarus, of nikur, of separation, of distance. In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's true that the Dibur was a Dibur Kosher, but that Dibur Kosher, which comes now at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's career, is a Dibur Kosher mitoch Ava. Whereas during the 38 years, it's an Amira, which indicates a Lashon of Richuk, of, you know what, I have to speak to you softly because you're not really my people. We don't have that close relationship. And of course, the Navi is going to be the result of this because the way that Hashem relates to the people, that's how he relates to the Navi. But once that period of time has terminated, now it becomes a period of Kirva, a very close relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, it turns into a Dibur, because Dibur is appropriate for the Ava relationship. The Tochacha is an expression of Kirva and Ava. It's like the father who castigates his son, Mitoch Ava, and he uses very harsh language because he loves his son. He wants to make sure and guarantee that his son behaves properly. He's not going to hold back any punches. And perhaps this could shed a light on our understanding of Tisha B'Av. The Gemara tells us in Yoma, very famous Gemara, Daf Nun Dalid, that when the Goyim entered into the Heichal, the Kodesh, they saw that the Kruvim were Ma'urim Zebazeh. And that's a Gili of Ava. Now, what's going on over here? We're talking about the moment of Onesh, of the terrible punishment of Churban and Golus, and at that moment, Hashem reflects a relationship of Ava, of Kruvim, Mu'urim, Zebazeb. The answer is that Onesh and Tochacha, all this din, is a Gili of Rachamim and Ava. The din is there only within the context of Ava, the same way that a father has to, in a sense, punish his son, but it's all mitoch ava, and it's for the benefit of the son. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us for our benefit, and therefore the kruvim ameurim zebazeh. The Zohar says that lo hoisa shas rachmim gedola yosem yosa shoshal churban beis hamikdash. Mind-boggling. The greatest apex of compassion in the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is the moment of churban. How could that be? That's counterintuitive. The Bnei Yisoschar is very famous for saying that the month of Av is a month of Rachamim. And therefore, regarding Tisha B'Av itself, the Pasuk says, Kiru Olai Moed. Where's the Moed? Where's the Ava? Where's the Rachamim? The answer is that Onesh, Din, and Tochach have to come Mitoch Ava. If I love you and I care about you, I'll be harsh to criticize you in a positive way to make sure you do better. And if I don't love you because you're alien to me, you're outside of my close, you know, radius of family, then it's always going to be diplomatic. It's going to be Beloshan Vayomer. It's going to be Beloshan Raka. I'm going to have to couch it as if I was rebuking my friend, my neighbor's son, and I have to do that in a very sensitive way. You know that very often parents and educators wonder about the issue of punishing children, whether it's in the house, whether it's in the school, and sometimes even the issue of corporeal punishment, of hitting a child, comes up. Today, the legislative rules prohibit any sort of hitting of a child, as certainly in the case of a teacher in a school. And perhaps today, instead of the children in school being afraid of the teacher is afraid of the children because, you know, the children can threaten them that if they misbehave, they'll take them to a court case for violating the law. So this is what happens when children start threatening their teachers, and their teachers turn out to be so scared, they're worried about their future. Is that the right way? I don't know. You know, we find the Chazal in general different views on the question of physical punishment, of hitting a child. For example, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Choshech Shivto Sone Beno. Shivto means, Pashas means a makel, it means a stick. And if we withhold the stick, the punishment, then he's a Sone. In other words, Shlomo Melch is telling us in Mishlei that a father should be mochiach his son with a very harsh tochacha. I don't know, maybe the word makil means verbal tochacha, it shouldn't be taken literally. The Gemara, for example, speaks about a person who accidentally hits his own son, and his son, Hashom, dies. And there's no din of golus. Golus only applies when it's a rishus, but not when it's a mitzvah. Here the hakah is b'derech mitzvah. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Yaser bincha v'yanichecha v'yitein ma'adonim l'nashecha, which indicates a positive approach towards hitting a child. It's hakah shel mitzvah. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah speaks about the Rebbe hitting the child. That too is hakah shel mitzvah. And if the child Hashom dies, there's no chiyuv golus. Now, are we talking about a child who's misbehaving in such a severe way? Well, no. The Gemara Masechet Makis talks about the case of Gomir, of a student who's actually learning, and he's achieving in his learning. He's from the good students. But nevertheless, even though it would seem that there's no purpose and no need to hit him, yet there is some sort of meaning or significance to hitting the child. Unbelievable. On the other hand, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Bechoros about the Malamed who was great at teaching Digduk, and all the information that he imparted to his students, he did it in such a perfect way, and they were learning so well, but Rav Acha decided to fire him, and the reason for that is because he hit the children. So we see that hitting the children is not positive. Maybe it means that we have to answer this question in a very complicated way. There's no absolute answer to the question whether we should hit a child or not hit a child. That strong and extreme form of tochacha might be acceptable and even recommended in a particular context, but not in a different context. For example, the Gemara in Sota tells us Liolam Tehe Smol Docha V'yamin Mekarevis. There's got to be some sort of a balance over here. Elisha, for example, pushed Gehazi with his two hands, and the Gemara seems to assume that that should be criticized, because although it's a small docha, where's the Yamin HaMekarevis? Now we're talking about somebody like Gehazi. He violated very, very severe averos, as the Gemara tells us. But nevertheless, Elisha should have been Makar of him with the Yamin, with the right hand. Small Docha, that means the Yad HaChazaka, maybe the weaker hand. But the strong hand is the Yamin, that's already Lakarvo, to bring him close. For example, the Halacha Paskins on the base of Gemara Kedushin, that a child who's above the age of Bar Mitzvah is also liav lahakoso. In this case, for sure, the father's not allowed to hit him, because maybe the child will be tempted, chas v'shalom, to hit him back. And therefore, the father has violated the isur of lifnei ivel lo sitein michshol. So what is it? You know, we see we're getting opposite messages from different sources in the Torah as to whether hitting a child or hitting a Talmud is something to be praiseworthy. Is it positive or is it negative? And perhaps the answer is what we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Medrash elucidates about the concept of Ava, that the tochacha has to come from Ava. You're giving physical punishment, you want it to be positive, then it's got to come from a relationship of Ava. And only in very certain, circumscribed situations or conditions can we determine that there is an Ava that could justify physical punishment. For example, in the case of Av, a father hitting his child, the case of a Rav hitting his Talmud, it's not enough that the father is the biological father of his Talmud. It's not enough that of his son. It's not enough that the Talmud comes in and he registers for the course, and the Rebbe teaches the whole class, and that guy is sitting there in the room. No. That's not going to engender an Ava relationship. That doesn't express or reflect an Ava relationship. The father has to develop a relationship with his son over the course of many, 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 many years. And then it becomes Av Ubno. And certainly, how much more so in the case of a Rav and a Talmud, to develop that love relationship towards the Talmud, that requires a lot of work over the course of a long period of time, is Tzarech HaYeled Lachush Ulahamin. The child has to sense, almost intuitively, but certainly believe, She'aviv Achein Oavo, that his father loves him, Avas Nefesh. And then in that context, if the father hits him, punishes him, or castigates him, the child understands that it's done on his behalf, out of Ava. If the child is not convinced of that, then the father should not hit his son. Also, lahakos yeled mitoch oved, ovdan shlita. The worst thing that a person can do is hit his child when he has no self-control, when he's in such a state of rage and anger. Or, for example, if he has some pressing problem that has to be tended to, that has to be resolved, then in that case, his nerves are at their wit's end. He'll lash out at his son. That's not acceptable. What kind of hakah, what kind of hitting or tochacha is acceptable? That's only mitoch daiga layelet. In other words, for the benefit of the child, but not for any sort of selfish needs or goals. When the father has to take it out on the son, it's not because he's taking out his wrath. He's doing it purely for the sake of the good of the child. And therefore, he should not lose his control, his self-control of himself, because of the pressure that he's under either here or there, in the family or outside the family. He's allowed to hit the child because of daiga layelet. He worries about the future of the child. Not that he's selfish. The father is not doing this out of a selfish consideration, meaning that he wants to get back to work and get the child, you know, out of his hair. That's what we mean when we talk about a yachas of av libno that could justify physical corporeal punishment. That punishment is viewed and understood by the child as love and not the opposite. Because if it's the opposite, then this could be an unbelievable source for sinas chino. So let's take, for example, the case of a four-year-old son who has to take some medicine. And of course, the medicine doesn't take great. So we got to force the child to take this medicine. Child himself is too young and too immature to appreciate how important it is for him to take the medicine. But the father or the parent forces the child to take this medicine. And what does the child feel? Well, the child naturally should feel deep down inside of him that this is done out of Ava. The father never, in other words, it never dawns upon the son that the father actually hates him, but rather he understands, and even if he's very young, intuitively, that his father is suffering together with him. There is a total empathetic relationship in which they're both suffering together. They identify with each other in the depths of their heart, and therefore the father identifies with the sevel, with the suffering of his child. And there is that communication between one heart and another heart. Now, the child's intuition or his awareness might be subconscious, it might be latent. Deep down in his heart, he feels the love of his father. He understands. He might not be able to express it on the contrary, he's on the outside, externally, he's crying. He doesn't want to be forced to swallow these truffaut. But yet, the child knows in some part of his soul that his father is out there for his own benefit. But sometimes the parents punish the child because of their difficult situation. The parents are in a pressure, and they lose it because of that pressure. You know, a father comes back from work after a full day of work, and he had problems in the work. You know, he's not getting along with his boss. or any other similar kind of problem, and the cases are, the scenarios are endless. The child is basically acting a little bit wild, but maybe on any day he would act that way. And if the son all of a sudden sees his father letting it out on him, then he knows that there's something strange over here. If the father really had a lev tov, he had a love relationship with him, then he wouldn't have reacted so much. So here's a scenario in which the father hits his son because of the father's situation, not out of a sense of love, out of a different matzav ruach. And it's not the severity of the crime here that's really engendering and justifying the punishment. It's what the father's going through. That's what's going to cause this terrible punishment. So we have to be very careful, and we have to teach and train parents and teachers that they should understand that a punishment that's physical has to be treated with a great deal of caution. It's got to be done out of kor ruach, you know, well thought out, without passionate emotions that take over. It's got to be shalvas ha-nefesh, you know, when the nefesh is in a serene, calm state. And it's got to come out of great love. And only after the love is there, but the decision was made, when the anger has subsided, and now he can logically, the father, weigh the pros and the cons from every dimension, and come to the maskana that he has to hit the child that he loves so dearly. Only in such a situation is it mutter for him to hit the child. And it might not only be mutter, but it might even be, and it should be, obligatory, absolutely necessary. That's what justifies hitting a child. We have heard so many stories about Gedolei Yisrael that limited the amount of physical punishment that they gave to their children. But even they, when it was absolutely necessary to implement that punishment, they did so with COVID rush, they did it out of a sense of shikol das, they were serious and somber and solemn, they made the decision, they calculated the pros and cons. And then they decided, you know what, maybe we have to hit the child. Maybe alternatively we could explain to the child why they deserve a punishment. And if we have to give them the punishment, it's going to come mitoch ava, from the rachmanis of a parent to a child. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin that the rachmei shamayim, the rachmei ha'av al ha-ben, are even greater than the rachmei ha-ben al ha'av. The love that a father has for his son is even greater, it surpasses the natural love that a son has for his father. I'm not 100% sure that in our generation it's exactly so. But again, if the father feels that the child is pestering him, he's taking up too much of his time, let me go, let me out of here, go play with your toys. I bought you so many toys, child, go play with them. And then he's going to physically punish the child, and when it's not coming mitoch ava, but rather out of a sense of get this pest out of here, I can't deal with it. And he's angry and he's frustrated, the father. That's not the way to deal with a child and build up a relationship with the child. That's going to have such negative repercussions. And the truth is that even when the Rambam advocates a Rebbe hitting the child, you know, the Rambam gives him all sorts of conditions and warnings, and the child has to be such and such an age, and you know, the hitting should be very limited. It should be there just to be matel ema v'yira. And maybe, for example, when the Shulchan Aruch says that during the period of Bein HaMetzarim, this is in Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, is Lo Yaku HaTalmidim, maybe because during these days, when we feel that sense of anguish, of grief and mourning over the destruction of the Churban, it's a period of time during this 3 weeks of Ketev, Mereri, of Midas HaDin, and in that context, maybe we shouldn't be hitting our children. We are not working with a full deck. We're not operating emotionally, and we're not behaving the way we should behave during Bein HaMetzarim. A parent is completely in despair of what's going on around him as a result of the fact that, you know, we had the Churban HaBayis, and with that heavy heart and an angry face, he goes ahead and he hits his child. That's not what it's all about. That's not going to be good. That can only be bad and negative. We need a situation where instead of this anger, we punish a child with hasbaras panim, out of a sense of ava, in a much more limited way. And that's why the Bein HaMetzarim is a very tricky period of time, because we're in a state of tzar and dikon, we're in a state of suffering and mental depression, year after year, commemorating the various tragedies that took place. In that emotional state, it's very difficult to act out of a sense of ava. The ava that's a precondition for tochacha, or for example for anisha, punishing the child, is almost antithetical to the mood that we are in as a result of the 3 weeks of avelus. And therefore we have to avoid at all costs hitting a child, because the whole basis and justification for hitting a child is ava. And now we're in a state not of ava, but we're in a state of distraught, of tsar. And let's go back to what we mentioned at the beginning, that the words of Moshe Rabbeinu here in Sefer Dvarim are divrei tochachos, and Moshe waits until he reaches the epitome of his avos Yisrael. And it says in the parasha, Vaydaber Hashem Eli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaber Im Moshe B'loshen Kasha. What does it mean that now that the period of the Meraglim, the 38 years after the Meraglim has terminated, now Hashem speaks to Moshe Vaydaber in Loshen Kasha? This seems counterintuitive. But the answer is that Loshen Kasha really indicates Chiba and Kirva. It's a kind of a language that indicates how you have to pass on to your children, meaning to Bnei Yisrael, this tochacha. And when Klal Yisrael see the churban, they understand that this is a churban that results from a ke'ev, so to speak, a pain in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart. Again, I'm just using figurative language. HaKadosh Baruch, when he meets out Midas HaDin, he feels a sense of identification, to empathize with our suffering. Let's review this pasuk in Tehillim Emches. Diminu Elokim Chazdecha Bekerv Hecholecha. Elokim is always Lashon Midas HaDin, and yet Chazdecha Bekerv Hecholecha. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using the Midas HaDin, which is very difficult. He's bringing about the bitter Churban HaBayis, but on a deeper level, this is all Chazdecha Bekerv Hecholecha. This is Chazdecha. Inside, Bekerv Hecholecha, Pnima, if we go deep down inside, below the surface of Din, we'll see Chesed Gadol, we'll see Ava. And that's what Tisha B'Av is all about. Tisha B'Av is the day on which Mashiach is born. Because out of Churban comes hope and optimism, a faith that we're beginning a process that will end up with something great. Let's mention, as we end the shiur, focus on some of the points of tochacha, some of the rebuke that's included in the substance of Moshe Rabbeinu's presentation here. Rav lachem sheves bahar azeh, pnu usu lachem, says the Kli Yakar, this is a tochacha, the first tochacha, that the people set themselves up bahar, a yeshiva shel keva. They didn't want to go into the land that's miyuchad l'kiyumah mitzvahs. So the first tochacha is that they don't have the love for Eretz Yisrael. It's pnu usulachem. that you leave Har Chorev, that's the place where you study the Torah, and you go now to the place where you can observe the Torah. Lo Medrash Ikar HaMaisa, it's not enough to learn the Torah and receive the Torah, you have to fulfill the Torah and implement its teachings, and that has to be done in the land. And therefore, V'nisa Michorev V'nelech, we have to go through the entire Midbar, and we have to come to the land, and maybe we're still guilty to some extent of the impact of the Chet HaMeraglim, even though we're in the next generation, but nevertheless there's some Shirayim perhaps. And we're not yet ready to gather together all that gumption and all that courage to go into the land and conquer it. To realize that that's the land that we need in order to implement the Torah. And of course, the Tochacha that we want to speak about, especially today is Erev Shabbos Chazon, is the words of the Prophet when he says, Mi Bikesh Zos Miedchem Ramos Chatzeroi. We mentioned it in an earlier Shia that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in Karbonos if they're not sincere. The Karbonos have to be a reflection of the genuine feeling of a Jew who wants to, more than anything else, fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem, to love Hashem, to come close to Hashem. And the Karbon is just a means to an end. The Malbim's language is very explicit and very poetic. He says, Lo hoya kavanosi al karbonos atzmam. When I gave you karbonos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not for the karbonos atzmam, shiyu tachlisli atzmam, that it should be an end unto itself. But the tzivu on the karbonos is only a means to an end. The real tzivu is shimu bekoli. And if you are dedicated and committed to fulfill the will of God, then within that context the karbon is meaningful. But the Navi is going to castigate us when we bring karbonos and we're not genuinely interested. It's a mechanical, robotic act of bringing karbonos. The Malbim calls it a Maisa Reka Min HaKavana. And as we mentioned in the past, the Malbim is famous for comparing the karbonos that we bring without feeling to a dead body that's completely divorced of any ruach u'neshama, and has no life to it. There's no life to our karbonos. Loma li rov simchechem Yishayo cries out. Savati olos vi'elim. Mi bikesh zos mi'edchem ramos chatzeru lo tosifo lahavin minchas shav, etc., etc. This is just a maisa without machsheva salev, without sincere feeling, without intention. If we don't do genuine tshuva, then certainly the karbonos are meaningless. The Ramban back in Vayikra on the pasuk Ishei Reach Nichoach Lashem points out that the purpose of a karbon is to be a Reach Nichoach Lashem. There were many other nations that brought karbonos, but our karbonos have a very specific purpose to them. Ramban says that the various types of animals, the categories that we're commanded to bring in karbonos, parallel the various holy animals of three different nations, of the Mitzrim, the Kazdim, the Hoduim. You know, Mitzrim worshipped the Tleh and Ovdim Lebokar Litzon. And the Kazdin worshipped the Shadim, and the Anshei Hodu worshipped Bokar, and they won't bring it and shecht it even to this day. And therefore Hashem commands us, and this he attributes to the Rambam's Moravuchim, to shecht those godlike figures or godlike animals in order to cleanse ourselves. Yisrapu me'amunos haros. This is Lafuke, those Amunos Ros, those false beliefs of the nations of the world. And of course the Ramban says, no, that forget about this concept of, you know, Ripui. The carbon has to be meaningful in and of itself. La Karba Miloshan Kirva. Like Noach when he comes out of the Teva, There are no Kazdim, no Mitzrim, no Hoduim. But he brings a carbon, and the pasuk says, "Vayitam v'yeni Hashem," because the purpose of a carbon is to uplift us, to inspire us, to bring us closer to Hashem. There's something about the Maisa Krav of the carbon that, if it's brought with the right purpose and the right intention, when a person thinks at the time that he brings a carbon that Roishi Shafek Dome, because of his chait, he deserves to be on the Mizbeach, if not for the Chesed Abore, that Hashem took a tmura, he took something in replace of the person's nefesh, and that the carbon should be domo tachas domo, nefesh tachas nefsho, nafsho roshei varim, keneged roshei varov. This is what the carbon is about. There's an inherent metaphysical meaning in the carbon itself. But again, it has to be with a lev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, v'avdeu belev sholem, benefesh chafetza, pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. A person has to serve Hashem out of a sense of av, of a lev sholem, of ratzon, a nefesh chafetza. It's a sincere kind of love that engenders a desire to do Hashem's will, to fulfill, to be committed, to be an oved Hashem. That's the castigation here against the Jewish people. Are they reaching the level of Yavdeu Belev Sholem Benefesh Chafetza? That's the challenge. It's not the external action. Sometimes, for example, a person, Nebuch is an Avelus, he first cuts his garment, he renders his garment, but it's not the Maisa, it's something that's deeper, it has to be more meaningful, it has to be a reflection of Hachnas Alev, of Kel. Of Kel Emunav Tzidik Adin. And this is really what the castigation of Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Tochacha against Kali Yisrael is really trying to fight against, these Maisim Chitzonim that are external, that aren't reflective of an internal sincerity and dedication and true love to Hashem. An act without Kavana is like an empty Kli. The Machshav and the Kavana is the Ikar. Otherwise, it's mitzvahs anoshim milimuda, as Yeshayahu calls it. It's robotic. It's something that we do perfunctorily just because we're used to doing it, and that's the way we're taught to doing it. It's lacking in a lev sholem. Rashi, there on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, of mitzvahs anoshim milimuda, says Vatehi Yerusam Osi Lo Belev Sholem Ki Im B'Mitzvos Hanoshim Amalamdim Osam. We do exactly the way we were taught. It's like you train, you go into training, physical training, and this is the way you repeat something that you've been trained to do without any inner feeling. It's only Mipiv Misfasov Ulachutz. And that's what the Malvim says in that pasuk in Yeshayahu about mitzvos anoshim milimuda, ki ilu kol anirtzam in a mitzvos haTorah hu rak maisim chitzonim below machshava v'kavana. This is our tochacha. This is what we have to battle against, mitzvos anoshim milimuda. When we do mitzvahs because we were trained to do them, our parents, our grandparents, but we don't have our own feeling for the mitzvah. And maybe we should learn more about the mitzvahs and the tamei mitzvahs. Again, I want to quote to you the Malbim. He writes, on mitzvahs hanoshim milimuda, yeshe yasa mitzvahs rak, mitzad shekein hurgol minu urov, v'hunag me'aleim, mibli kavanu machshova, yodea she'im mitzvahs Hashem. At least he knows it's a mitzvah. But he does the mitzvah lo mipnei shetziva Hashem, rak mipnei shekein tziva horeim ve'avoseim. It's out of hergel. That's not a real, genuine mitzvah. It's b'li das. It's only mitoch limud ve'hergel. And then he writes ki al yedei tainos ka'elu yispakru lahakchish bichlal. At some point, if he just continuously does the mitzvahs because he was trained that way. He was programmed to do the mitzvahs without any feeling. It's going to get to the point where when issues and questions come up about the mitzvah, chas v'shalom yisparik lahakrish shetziva Hashem. Maybe he'll come to the point where he'll deny that God commanded himself. He has no fortification because he has no emotional involvement in the mitzvah. The mitzvah means nothing to him. He has no clue about the significance of the mitzvah, the impact of the mitzvah. The Gemara tells us in Brachos a very famous statement, Echad amar ve'echad amamitu bilvad she'echavein libo l'shamayim. Our kavon has to be l'shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our kavona. He wants our whole existential being. There's a concept of Rachmana Liba boy. Ben Ezrin Shmos Lamed Aleph Ayitain El Moshe Chalosa Dabar Ita Barsina Shnei Luchos Haedus Luchos Evin Ksuvim Vietzbe Elokim. Says the Ben Ezra Ayitain Reke Moach Yitmuhu Ma Osa Moshe Bahar Arboim Yom Varboim Laila. The empty-headed wonder what Moshe was doing there up in the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights. Velo Yodu Im Yamod Shom Im Hashem Kimispar Azeh V'kofal Kiflo Shenayim Lo Yochul Adas Chilek Mi Elef Mi Maise Hashem Udrocha V'sod Kol Mitzvot Tzivo Ki Achshavu Ki Amaise Ikar. The people mistakenly think that everything, all the emphasis on the action, the external action. And so what was Moshe doing up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights? Ve'enenu, but this is not so. Rak Halevav, the heart, ha-maisav ha-levav. It's got to be an integration of maisa and lev. Ve'kadmonenu amru rachmana libaboy. Yishorish kol ha-mitzvus is avas Hashem v'chol nafsha v'yidbak bo. Lo yesh sholem im lo yakir maisi Hashem. If he doesn't have this ava b'chol libo and dveikus, desire to be one with Hashem, then his mitzvos are dry and cut and limited. It's not sholem. Lo yesh sholem. Unless he's yakir maisi Hashem, it's got to be bizos yishalel ha-mishalel ha-seichel ha-skel v'yodea osi. A person has to clarify, he has to understand, Ki Hashem osa chesed, mishpat utztaka ba'aretz. Lo yuchal adas Hashem im lo yeda nafsho v'nishmaso v'gufo. He's got to get every part of his existence involved. The Aruch HaShulchan is famous for saying that even though we might paskin mitzvahs ein tzrichus kavona, that's only with regard to achilas matzah and the like, a mitzvah sheyesh bo maisa, but a mitzvah shel dibur, a mitzvah shel shmia, like for example kriyat shma v'dibur, or shmia in the case of shofar, is below kavana, lav klum ka'ovid, it's nothing. And that seems to be also the sheet of the Rambam. So the Aruch HaShulchan is telling us that in many, many mitzvahs we need kavana, we need the lev, and that's essential to the kiyum mitzvah. So in the broader context of our discussion today about the first part of Sefer Dvarim, and perhaps most of Sefer Dvarim, the Rambam is indicated that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving throughout Sefer Dvarim a tochacha, and the other Mefarshim as well, and that tochacha is coming mitoch ava. There's no tochacha without ava, and we as parents and as educators have to realize that the tochacha we give has to be within the framework, the context of ava. If the wellspring is ava, then the tochacha can have an impact on those who have to hear the tochacha. And perhaps the most important element is tochacha, which is indicated by the Haftorah for Shabbos Chazon, is that our actions should not be chitzoni, should not be just simply external and repetitious and out of a training and a habit, but rather out of a sense of genuine commitment to Hashem and devotion and dedication and love to Him. And if we do that, if we let these words of tochacha penetrate into our hearts and our souls, we can achieve, and we can hope to achieve, an avod v'leif shalom, a mitzvah shlema. And that should be our goal. Hashem should help us achieve it. Kein yiratzon. Amen.